The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. And for the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer and Newspace.com. Before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we'll be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. And today on Armchair Traveler, we're going to take a look at space travel, reading several articles that provide an overview of what's taking place in the skies above. And this includes not only what's happening today, but also a look into the future. First up is Michael Wilner's article, Space Race with China Has Begun, Is America Ready? This article appeared in the November 22, 2024 2023 online edition of the News and Observer. And we begin. Shortly after New Year's Day in 2019, China landed an unmanned spacecraft on the far side of the moon where no mission had gone before. U.S. intelligence officials say they did so quietly, taking their time to verify the rover had landed in one piece and protecting themselves from embarrassment. Hours passed before Beijing announced its historic achievement to the world. The landing was a wake-up call in Washington. China's space program was advancing with unexpected speed. Beijing would soon assemble in record time a space station orbiting Earth, catching U.S. officials off guard once again. U.S. intelligence officials acknowledged that China's sudden advances had surprised them. They are no longer surprised. The intelligence community now assesses with confidence that China is poised to succeed in landing humans on the moon and constructing a permanent base camp at the lunar South Pole by the end of this decade, four intelligence officials told McClatchy, just as NASA has fallen behind its own deadlines to achieve similar milestones. It's the first time intelligence officials have publicly detailed their concerns that China may be win the space race to return people to the moon and establish a lunar outpost, an achievement that could set back U.S. plans for human space travel for decades to come. It wasn't too long ago, China said, that they were intending to land by 2035, so that date keeps getting closer and closer, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson told McClatchy in an interview. By the way, McClatchy is a newspaper chain, and among the papers it owns are the Charlotte Observer and the News and Observer, based in North Carolina. And Nelson went on to say, I take it very seriously that China, in fact, is in a headlong race to get to the moon. Neither country plans to stop at the moon. Both see it as a training ground for missions to Mars in the 2030s, vying to make history by sending humans deep into space and landing them for the first time on another planet. Before, it was more of an afterthought. China was nowhere to be seen, one U.S. intelligence official said, speaking on the condition of anonymity to discuss sensitive intelligence matters. Today, China gets the lion's share of intelligence attention. A second U.S. intelligence official said that space is very evident to China as a place they need to counter U.S. power. They don't want to be the space power of the 2020s, the official said. They want to be the space power of the 21st century, the way we were in the 20th. Setting the pace and the rules. More than half a century after the United States put men on the moon, a space race is on for the new millennium. The first great competition of world power since the end of the Cold War is spurring a new era of exploration that could send humans on missions far beyond those of the Apollo program 50 years ago. But if the original space race with the Soviet Union was a sprint, this new competition with China is going to be a marathon. The United States will continue to lead the world, Vice President Kamala Harris, who also serves as director of the National Space Council, told McClatchy in a statement. Our unrivaled network of allies and partners will power our deep space exploration, inspire the next generation of explorers, and will ensure that advancements in space benefit all of humanity. At NASA, all of these goals are linked, forming a moon-to-Mars architecture that is breaking modern precedent in Washington for space initiatives, with sustained support and funding from consecutive Republican and Democratic administrations. Is China a catalyst? It should be. Chinese ambitions for both the moon and Mars should be taken very seriously, said Ding Cheng, senior advisor to the China program at the U.S. Institute of Peace. Because of their perspective, it's not just about planting the flag. There's a whole freight train worth of baggage and meaning associated with both of these missions, he said. This is to establish precedent, says Chang, but then to establish rules. Competition is already inching toward conflict closer to home. Since landing the rover on the far side of the moon, China has more than doubled its number of satellites orbiting Earth and has launched a space plane that remained in low Earth orbit for several months before ascending and releasing a projectile, defense officials said. Beijing is already fielding weapons in space, including electronic and cyberspace equipment, but also devices that can stalk and latch on to satellites to disrupt their orbit. Nelson expressed concern that China may reach its lunar milestones first, a development that would allow or could allow Beijing to monopolize resources critical to a sustained presence on the surface, such as a frozen water hiding in crevices of permanent darkness and solar energy from mountain peaks bathed in eternal light or sunlight. If China were to land and begin an outpost there, I think it would be a Sputnik moment for the American people, said G. Scott Hubbard, NASA's first Mars czar and former director of the Ames Research Center at NASA, who now chairs SpaceX's Crew Safety Advisory Panel. They could claim it as their own, he said. The Chinese embassy in Washington told McClatchy in a statement that outer space is not a wrestling ground, but an important field for win-win cooperation. The exploration and peaceful uses of outer space is humanity's common endeavor and should benefit all. Senior officials in the Biden administration told McClatchy that China's program could be the motivation the United States needs to reestablish the wonder and drive of spaceflight that once captured the American imagination. There are positive aspects to competition, one official said, adding, one person's pressure is another person's inspiration. Dash to the lunar South Pole. Beijing surprised Washington once again in May when its military-run manned space agency held a press conference ostensibly to deliver a routine announcement. Agency officials were introducing three new Chinese astronauts who would depart for China's Tiangong space station the following day, part of a steady cadence of new crew members being sent into orbit every 6 months, an impressive achievement in and of itself. Then officials added that Beijing intends to land humans on the moon by 2030, moving their timeline up by years. China's Academy of Military Sciences has previously said that space has already become a new domain of military or modern military struggle. Neither the China National Space Administration nor the China Manned Space Agency responded to multiple email requests for comment. China's public plan is to use robots to scout the South Pole for lunar water in 2026 and begin establishing its base there to be called the International Lunar Research Station in 2028. Beijing aims to complete a new Long March 10 rocket system for its crewed missions by 2027. U.S. intelligence officials say it would be high risk for the Chinese to attempt their first human landing at the South Pole, but also believe Beijing will try to distinguish their first landing from Apollo. If there's a prestige goal, one intelligence official said, it is the South Pole of the moon. Well, there have been several space initiatives in recent months, but you might have missed one that received only a brief mention in early January. SpaceX launches satellites to boost cell phone service was written by the Los Angeles Times, for the Los Angeles Times, by Jeremy Childs. Now, it also was published in the January 4, 2024 online edition of the News and Observer. Childs writes, the first SpaceX launch of 2024 took place Tuesday night, January 2, 2024. It included something that none of the company's prior launches did. The Falcon 9 rocket carried 21 low-orbit satellites for its sister company, Starlink, including six that for the first time featured direct-to-cell communications. The satellites are designed to eliminate cell phone service dead zones with expanding access to text, voice, and data messages for all LTE cellular devices, according to the company. The rocket launched at 7:44 p.m. from Vandenberg Space Force Base in Lompoc, California, creating a nighttime show for spectators. The satellites joined thousands of other Starlink satellites in low Earth orbit. SpaceX hopes to have as many as 42,000 satellites in this network, as Space.com reports. Satellites can sometimes be glimpsed marching across the sky. We'll be hearing more about that, I'm sure. Well, our next article is going to take us back to the summer of 2023. SpaceX launches Euclid Space Telescope to study dark universe. Writer Richard Trebo's article was written for the Orlando Sentinel and appeared in the July 2, 2023 online edition of the News and Observer. Dark energy and dark matter are enigmatic concepts targeted by a European Space Agency space telescope named Euclid that launched from the Space Coast on Saturday, July 1st of last year. A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket blasted off at 11:12 a.m. from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station's Space Launch Complex 40 on the ESA mission that looks to send Euclid to a point nearly 1 million miles from Earth, close to where the James Webb Space Telescope is parked in space. The first stage booster for the flight made its second launch and made its recovery landing on the drone ship, a shortfall of gravitas downrange in the Atlantic Ocean. Euclid, named after the Greek mathematician known as the father of geometry, is a 15-foot tall, 12-foot diameter probe armed with a telescope that has both a visible wavelength camera and a near-infrared camera and spectrometer with sensors provided by NASA. Operations will begin in about 3 months after it takes up space in a spot known as Lagrange Point 2, keeping the Sun, Earth, and Moon to its back. Targeting at least 6 years of operation, it aims to make a 3D map of a massive portion of the universe, covering one-third of the sky outside of the Milky Way. In its scope will be billions of cosmic targets, with some whose light has been traveling for 10 billion years. Its optical and near-infrared imagery will be at least four times better than what can be seen from ground-based observations on Earth. The Euclid mission aims to uncover the mysteries of the dark universe, according to the ESA mission profile. This ominous-sounding invisible part of the cosmos makes up more than 95% of the mass and energy in our universe. The team at identified three portions of the sky, which it will focus 10% of its observation time, to delve into the nature of dark energy and dark matter. These fall outside the bright spaces of the Milky Way, as well as the interstellar matter and diffuse dust in our solar system along the zodiac. Two of the three deep surveys have overlapped with existing observations from other astronomical space resources, such as the Spitzer Space Telescope and Chandra X-ray Observatory. Dark matter and energy affect the motion and distribution of visible sources, but do not emit or absorb any light, and scientists do not yet know what these entities really are, according to ESA. The profile states dark energy seems to drive the current accelerated expansion of our universe, but scientists do not understand how and why. The 3D map Euclid aims to make will look from the time when most stars were forming until today. Now, this looking back in time will show us the variations in the cosmic acceleration with extreme precision, revealing the nature of dark energy in this process, the mission profile states. As far as dark matter goes, it's posited to be particles that don't emit light like planets, stars, and other matter. Its existence affects movement of those objects that we can see, and some of it could be sourced to hypothetical primordial black holes that could have formed soon after the Big Bang, the mission profile states. Euclid's observation will help test this hypothesis. In addition to delving into the nature of the dark universe, Euclid aims to see how the universe has expanded over time and tackle questions related to gravity. The mission serves the Euclid Consortium that has more than 2,000 scientists from 300 institutes in the U.S., 13 European countries, Canada, and Japan. It's part of the ESA's Cosmic Vision 2015-2025 plan that has also included the launch of the Jupiter Icy Moons Explorer this past April and the Solar Orbiter in 2020 and the Exoplanet Space Telescope CHEOPS in 2019. Now, speaking of the Euclid mission, and since this was written last year, we did some further research and found posted on the web February 19, 2024 on EarthSky.org an update, and here we go. Euclid Space Telescope begins Dark Universe Survey. Kelly Kaiser Witt posted this. Euclid peers into the dark areas of our universe. On February 14, 2024, ESA's Euclid Space Telescope began its six-year mission to observe billions of galaxies and 10 billion years of cosmic history. Its goal is to survey one-third of the night sky, invisible and near-infrared light outside the bright Milky Way. These observations should help astronomers better understand the universe's expansion and structure over time, providing insight to the nature of dark matter and dark energy. Euclid launched from Florida July 1, 2023. It's now up and running at its home at LaGrange Point, 930,000 miles or 1.5 million kilometers from Earth. You may be familiar with LaGrange, too, as the home of the Webb Space Telescope. In just the first 2 weeks, Euclid will survey an area greater than 500 times the size of the full moon. This first region it's observing is in the direction of the southern hemisphere constellations of Selim and Pictor. Now, Bloomberg News, citing Handite, is also going to give us a travel update in just a moment. But before we get there, and this mention of black holes, let me bring you up to date on this story here. And it's basically a NASA handout in India to study black holes with first satellite launch after U.S. This is written by Regina Saxena, published in the January 8, 2024 online edition of the News and Observer. And here we go. India launched its first satellite on Monday in January to study black holes as it seeks to deepen its space exploration efforts ahead of an ambitious crewed mission next year. The spacecraft, named X-ray Polarimeter Satellite, was propelled into an orbit of 350 kilometers from an island near India's main spaceport off Srikakulam, off the southern state of Andhra Pradesh, according to S. Somanath, chairman of the Indian Space Research Organization. The satellite, weighing about 1,000 pounds, will carry out research on X-rays emanating from around 50 celestial objects with the help of two payloads built by RSRO and Bengaluru-based Research Institute. NASA launched a similar mission, the Imaging X-ray Polarimetry Explorer, in 2021 to answer questions such as why black holes spin and build on the findings of its flagship telescope Chandra X-ray Observatory that blasted off more than two decades ago. China's National Space Administration launched the country's first X-ray space telescope to observe black holes, pulsars, and gamma ray bursts in 2017. India's upcoming projects include its first launch of astronauts on a crewed mission named Gagayaan, scheduled for 2025. After a successful spacecraft landing near the lunar South Pole last year, India is planning to develop a next-generation launch vehicle and a new launch pad with the goal of landing people on the moon by 2040. The country is also seeking to tie up with other space majors to further its ambitions. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson visited India in November ahead of the joint U.S.-Indian Earth Observing Mission, which is scheduled for launch in 2024. Well, much of what we hear about space travel features explorations that seek to learn more about what we can see in space. But what we may see or not see is really only part of our natural ability to capture the essence of some object or space. What about what we can touch? Previous stories on Armchair Traveling have mentioned people having the opportunity, for example, to touch moon dust or a moon rock. But what about what we can hear? Well, some scientists feel there are lots of sounds in space that remain unexplained as far as their origin is concerned. And then there's this question. What does space smell like? Well, that happens to be the title of our next article, written by Keith Cooper and posted on newspace.com. This was posted in February. As the graphic caption reads, The exotic chemistry of planetary and interstellar space produces a bouquet of unusual aromas. If only there were air and space in which to smell them. Well, now let's go to the article and see what we can learn as we continue our travel in deep space, okay? And we begin with the Keith Cooper's article saying, astronauts have described some unusual scents in space, which is not surprising considering the chemistry there is that's far different than on Earth. So what does space smell like, and what are the cosmic sources of these odors? Space is an airless vacuum, so technically you can't smell anything in space. If you tried, you'd be dead. However, space is not a complete vacuum. It's full of all manner of molecules, some of which have their own strong odors when we smell them on Earth. Learning about what different parts of space might smell like is a really cool way to get a better understanding of cosmic chemistry. What do astronauts smell? Well, during the Apollo moon landings, the astronauts would often comment on a gunpowder-like smell once they had clambered back into the airlock, entered the confines of their lunar lander, and removed their helmets. Similarly, after spacewalking, astronauts returning to the confines of the International Space Station report the smell of gunpowder as well as ozone and burnt steak. So what's going on? Where does the smell come from? Scientists have two good theories. One is that while an astronaut is on a spacewalk, single atoms of oxygen can adhere to their spacesuit, and when they re-enter the airlock and repressurize molecular oxygen, O2, or two atoms of oxygen, flood into the airlocks, combining with the single oxygen atoms to form ozone, or O3. This would explain the sour metallic smell. So what about other odors? There's probably something else going on. Polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs, found in a charred food like burnt toast and barbecued meat also occur routinely in space. In fact, most interstellar carbon is locked up in PAHs. They're also plentiful in the solar system, so they can be picked up easily by astronauts and brought inside the space station or space capsule. And they're probably the source of the burnt meat smell that astronauts report. Indeed, NASA treats the smells of space as more than just a curiosity. In 2008, the agency commissioned Stephen Pierce, a chemist at Omega Ingredients, which specializes in fragrances and flavors, to reconstruct the smells of space for astronauts in training. After all, an astronaut needs to be able to distinguish between the smell of PAHs on their spacesuit and a dangerous chemical leak on board the space station. And then we have... Then we have smelly comets. And so we have the idea of where space near Earth smells like, but how about let's go in further afield? Well, other places in the universe also have unique odors, if only we could travel so far to smell them. When the European Space Agency's Rosetta spacecraft encountered Comet 67P, Churyumov-Gerasimenko in 2014, it detected a rich variety of molecules in the comet's coma, the gaseous halo that surrounds the comet's solid nucleus. Among these molecules were hydrogen sulfide, which gives rotting eggs their unsavory stench, ammonia, which is reminiscent of the repulsive smell of urine, hydrogen cyanide, which, despite its famously toxic nature, has a more appealing almond-like smell, sweet-smelling carbon disulfide, and the pickled aroma of formaldehyde. You'd likely turn your nose up at this combination of odors, but if there were any smell, it would likely be pretty weak, as the vast majority of a comet's coma is water vapor and carbon dioxide. The gasoline moon. Saturn's moon, Titan, looks a bit like Earth, but is in fact very different. One place where there is an atmosphere to hold a scent is Saturn's largest moon, Titan. The atmosphere doesn't really help us smell anything, though. There's no oxygen, and it's chilly, minus 292 degrees Fahrenheit. That would be minus 179.6 degrees Celsius. So it's not really an option to take off your spacesuit helmet and breathe in deeply. If we could, however, we would find that Titan reeks of gasoline. Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised. After all, gasoline or petrol is made from crude oil and hydrocarbons, rich in hydrocarbons, which are molecules formed of atoms of hydrogen and carbon, such as methane and ethane. Titan's atmosphere contains a dense smog of hydrocarbons, and on the moon's surface, liquid hydrocarbons form oily lakes and rivers. But methane, which is the dominant hydrocarbon on Titan, doesn't smell of anything. So what creates the moon's stench? Well, NASA's Cassini spacecraft identified an unknown chemical in Titan's hazy atmosphere that NASA laboratory experiments on Earth determined was a molecule containing nitrogen, methane, and benzene, and belonging to a family of molecules called polycyclic aromatic nitrogen heterocycles, PANHs. Remember that now for your pop quiz. In particular, it's the benzene in the PANHs that gives Titan its petroleum stench, since benzene is also found naturally in gasoline. A boozy gas cloud. Well, color composite image of the galactic center and Sagittarius B2 is seen by the Atlas Gall survey. The center of the Milky Way is home to the supermassive black hole more than 4 million times the mass of our sun. It's about 25,000 light years from Earth. Sagittarius B2 is one of the largest clouds of molecular gas in the Milky Way. So the solar system is a pretty pungent place, but what about the rest of the universe? Well, Sagittarius B2 is a giant interstellar molecular cloud of star-forming gas and dust less than 400 light-years from the center of the Milky Way, and it has all kinds of aromatic chemistry going on. For one thing, it contains a lot of alcohol, including vinyl alcohol, methanol, and ethanol, and the kind of alcohol found in beer. Well, in 2009, astronomers also detected the molecule ethyl formate in Sagittarius B2. Now, ethyl formate is the chemical that gives raspberries and rum their sweet fragrances. So even if the center of our galaxy smells like a brewery, at least it's going to be a pleasant one. And this article, again, was written by a fellow named Keith Cooper. He's a freelance science journalist and editor in the United Kingdom, and he has a degree in physics and astrophysics from the University of Manchester. He's authored a book called The Contact Paradox, Challenging Our Assumptions in the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And he's also written many articles on astronomy, space, physics, astrobiology for a variety of magazines and websites. Well, we're going to wrap up with just a brief essay here by Paul Parsons, and this is from about space travel, and sciencefocus.com is the source. And he writes, when did we first start exploring space? The first human-made object to go into space was a German V-2 missile launched on a test flight in 1942. Although uncrewed, it reached an altitude of 189 kilometers, that's 117 miles. Former Nazi rocket scientists were later recruited by both America and Russia, often at gunpoint in the latter case, where they were instrumental in developing intercontinental ballistic missiles, or ICBMs, rockets capable of carrying nuclear weapons from one side of the planet to the other. And why is space travel important, he says? Well, space exploration is the future. It satisfies the human urge to explore and to travel, and in the years and decades to come, it could even provide our species with new places to call home, especially relevant now as Earth becomes increasingly crowded. Extending our reach into space, also necessary for the advancement of science, space telescopes like the Hubble Space Telescope and probes to the distant worlds of the solar system, continually updating and occasionally revolutionizing our understanding of astronomy and physics. So there you go. Some practical reasons to keep on exploring the unknown, as they say, outer space. We hope you've enjoyed your journey on today's Armchair Traveler and that you'll be with us next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, reminding you the content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. The website again, ncreadingservice, all one word, .org. If you have any comments or questions, you may direct them to 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.